Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
Are you glad to be here? That sounds a little better. The last time I was here was about 4 years ago, I think. And as I reflect back, there was a couple who had just demolished out their car, and they were driving their daughter's Mustang. Anybody remember that? Nobody remembers that? Are they here? Are they here? Okay, but some of you remember that, right? Okay, I'm not making it up. And I got here about 2 hours early that day, and so I stopped at the fast food place. You know, you have so many to pick from. And I'm sitting there, and I said, "Lord, send me somebody to talk to." And in they came, and I made some remark to them. "You're all dressed up, look good," something like that. By the way, I've used that lots of times. It works real good. "You look real good. You been to church today or something?" And I've got a lot of illustrations of how that worked out great, and ends up starting a conversation with them. I've got to share about the gospel. I've got to share about my ministry that way, just stop at a fast food joint and say something like that. Only one day I got a little curveball. I said to the people, "You look really nice. You've been to church today?" And they said, "Yes. We go to the Latter-day Saints." And I says, "I can't say, well, that's good." I said, "Well, you look good." "Well, you look good then. So you got that all figured out, right?" So today I stopped at that fast food place before church, and there's a couple sitting at the same table where that couple was about 4 years ago. And I said to them, I said, "You come here often on Sundays?" "Yes." And I said, "You wouldn't have been here. You sit the same place?" "Well, yes, pretty close here." Okay, so I thought, well, maybe it's the same people. I don't remember what they looked like. And so I said, "Well, did you wreck a car about 4 years ago and drive your daughter's Mustang?" They said, "No." And I said, "Well, I'm going to be preaching over at the Baptist church here in Mayo." And they said they go to church in another town. But I was glad they don't go here in a way. You know why? They didn't pray. So I'm checking up on your people for you, okay? These people didn't go to your church, and they didn't pray, but I still invited them. Anyways, it's good to be with you this afternoon. We're going to get moving right along with a PowerPoint. Shepherd began way back in 1957 as a Sunday school class in Garfield Avenue Baptist Church. Outgrew that, so in 1964, we opened the doors in Union Grove, Wisconsin, to provide compassionate Christian care. At that time, it was children, but now it is adults. They have to be at least 18, for adults with intellectual / developmental disabilities. We believe very strongly that we are guiding hearts and giving hope. We're guiding their hearts, of course, towards the Lord Jesus Christ, and our hope is in the Lord. Many of our residents are looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, a while back, we came up with a mission statement, a vision statement, and some core values. To summarize the core values, it's honoring God and valuing people. We honor God in integrity, excellence, and servanthood, and we value people by showing respect. Listen, it doesn't matter if you or I have some kind of disability. It doesn't matter if it's an intellectual disability like all of our resident students and clients have, or maybe a physical disability. By the way, pretty encouraging to see all you people that had replacement parts and you're still alive. That's encouraging to me. And I tell people, well, it's not like when you get an old car, you go to Napa or somewhere and you get replacement parts. Well, I'm about that age. I guess I need some of those for the body. Anyways, we're honoring God and valuing people. We value people by showing them respect, teaching them to progress ahead, and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we believe very strongly that every individual ever born on planet Earth was designed on and for a purpose by God Almighty. Read Genesis 1, 26 and 27. We are created in image and likeness of God. And so we believe that very strongly, and we are training them for life and empowering them to serve. Now, Shepherds offers all those things listed there and many others. I'm not going to read through that. We're going to move right along and tell a little more detail about all those things. We have a program called Endeavor. Endeavor is residential living. Now, to be a resident, they must be at least 18. They must be at least 18. They must be ambulatory. They must be able to take care of their own restroom needs, and they must successfully complete a two-week respite care program right there on our campus. Now, there is no upper age limit. Until not too long ago, our oldest resident was 84. We put it this way: once they come to us, they may live out the rest of their lifetime or until we cannot adequately meet their need. There might be a medical situation come up that we can't care for. If that were to happen, we would find them appropriate care. Since I've been a staff just about 18, my anniversary will be actually April the 9th. It will make exactly 18 years. I made many friends. Now, I live in Fremont, Michigan. How many know where that is? All right, very good. I live in Fremont, Michigan. Well, I don't actually live in town, but that's my address. Same group probably knows where White Cloud is, right? I have a White Cloud phone number, but I don't live there either. And the same group probably knows where Newaygo is, right? I pay taxes there, but I don't live there either. I'm kind of equal distance from all those places. You understand that, being in the country. But being on staff 18 years, I'm only on campus generally two or three times a year. I'm there for intense training to keep up on all the new things that are happening or about to happen. But I made many friends in those 18 years. Many of the residents look forward for me showing up on campus, and I don't know how they know, but they know every time I show up, and they hunt me down. And these are a couple of my friends there. Tell you more about some of them as we move along. We have another program called Catalyst. That's appropriate independent. We are teaching more and more of our residents how to live semi-independently. Now, Union Grove is a small town, about population almost 5,000. And until recently, they had Burger King, but then McDonald's came in. So now they have McDonald's and Burger King and Subway there. And when McDonald's came in, they hired 8 of our residents to work there. And so I thought, the next time I'm in Union Grove, I'm going to stop by McDonald's. So I stopped by there and ordered whatever, a sandwich and fries and a Diet Coke, and I get out my laptop and I get connected to their internet, and I'm there doing some stuff there. And when I get all done, I said, I'd like to talk to the manager. So she came out pretty serious-faced, and I said, quickly I introduced myself and told her she'd rarely see me in town, but I had heard that she hired 8 of our residents and students to work there. And I just stopped by to thank her. And she said to me, they are a delight to work with. And the next day, the guy cleaning the table there, he's one of my friends, his name is Walter, comes to us from New York. He has quite that accent, Bronx accent there. And I didn't know he worked there. I didn't see him. A couple of the other residents come up and talk to me. But the next day I saw Walter and he said, I saw you at McDonald's last night. You had a Big Mac. You had French fries. You had a Diet Coke. You had your laptop out. You were doing all that. I said, good thing I didn't have my Social Security number out too. He would have known it all. And the reason I share that is this reason. Many times we cut these individuals short from what they can and do accomplish. I want to tell you, Walter challenges us spiritually too. Walter carries around a stack of gospel tracts, I kid you not, about this thick, right back here in his back pocket. If he doesn't know you, he reaches back here and he whips one out and he says, hey, this is something good. You ought to read it. I know, because first time he saw me, he gave me 2 of them. And there's accountability with this guy too, because the next day after he gave me those couple of gospel tracts, he said, hey, did you read those gospel tracts I gave you? I said, yes, sir. Well, what did you think of them? So I had to tell him what I thought. I said, they were pretty good. Without hesitation, he grabbed another one out of his pocket and went to somebody else and said, hey, the preacher said that's a pretty good gospel tract. I guess you ought to be reading it too. And so Many times our residents challenge us in our walk with the Lord. Catalyst Program, Semi-Independent Living. There's some more of my friends. And we have a day services program that's for our aging clients. Some mobility skills go there. Maybe arthritis is sitting in, or maybe they're just not able to get around too good. And so we do some special activities for them to keep them somewhat mobile. Remember this, shepherds is compassionate, underline it, circle it, Christian. Care for adults with intellectual disabilities. Every day we start with this book. We have a weekly chapel service. We have Sunday morning, Sunday evening services. We have two Bible classes every semester, and we have a student-led Bible study. And by the way, the first semester, our students are required to learn all the attributes of God. What if I said, Myo Baptist, I have a quiz for you today about the attributes of God. Oh, don't get too worried. I'm not going to do it. And I know different theologians break them down different ways and so forth. Anyways, many times the residents challenge us, and these are just three more of my friends. Steve Wallace, where it says music's been singing for over 40 years. It'll be worth it all when we see Christ. Gail in the center gives her testimony and quotes scripture, and so does Dennis. And they're just serving the Lord in the ways that they can with their intellectual disabilities. The respite care program is generally 2 to 4 weeks in length. It introduces the family to shepherds and shepherds the family. And once again, it is a prerequisite for anyone becoming a resident shepherd. Now, I'm not sure if we had this program when I was here last. It's rather new. I would say we've been into it about 3 or 4, maybe 5 years at the most. We call it Camp Discovery. So now we've added a summer camping program once again for individuals with intellectual disabilities, weeks for 13 through 17-year-olds, and weeks of 18 through 23-year-old. We call that Camp Discovery. By the way, our campus is 92 acres, or 17 buildings on that 92 acres. And maybe to give you a little more comprehension of how big it is, there are about 200 windows in those buildings and about 1,500 light fixtures. So there's a lot of facility to keep up there at Shepherd's. Well, in addition to all those things, we have what we call Shepherd's Enterprise. And what that is it's corporations outsource work to Shepherd's for our residents to do. We do work for Johnson & Johnson. We do work for Milwaukee Power Tool. We do work for Andes Corporation. By the way, they make pet and barber clippers and hair dryers and things like that. We do something for a gear company. We drill and tap the gears, put the set screws in and the key to grab the shaft and the gear and so forth. And we have done different contracts. We do the soy candles for a while. There's a sample out on the display table. Did you hear this story? Maybe I told it before. It's a good one anyways. If I did, you'll just hear it again. I was talking about the candles saying, in a pretty large church in a Sunday morning setting, about our residents make over 60 different fragrances of this soy candle for garden party. And about that time, a big guy comes in the back door, and he interrupts me. And he says, hey, preacher, you know what I think of that candle thing? I think it's a woman's thing. Well, that kind of took me back a little bit, and I thought, what am I going to say? And I said, well, you're entitled to your opinion. Now, you would think that would be the end of it, right? But it wasn't. He went on and says, I think if you're going to make the candles, you at least ought to make them in my favorite fragrance. Some of you guys will really like this. Gunpowder scent. And I said right away, I said back to him, yes, but who would have the nerve to light it? And I've been saying thank you to the Lord for that answer ever since then. That was the end of his conversation about that. Well, anyways, we have that. Different contracts come and go. We have on-campus employment, and several of our residents work off-campus in restaurants, motels, libraries, hospitals, and so forth. There are just some more pictures of my friends there. In addition to that, we have what we call Shepherd's College. It started 8 years ago, and we were the first Christian college in the United States to offer education for individuals with intellectual disabilities. And since then, we are now being advertised not only as the first, but the nation's leading post-secondary education institution in America. When we started Shepherds way back, and we started our present facility in 1964 and all the way up through to recent years, we were looked at as white Caucasian, which basically we were. There were a few African Americans through the years that come and go, but now you know what they're saying about our college? It is the third most culturally diverse college in the state of Wisconsin. And we are having students come not only from all over the United States, but around the world. And I was just there in June for graduation last year, and we had one graduate from Hong Kong, just to give you a little idea. Well, presently, we are teaching them daily living skills. Well, I better say something about this. You see, we need to get them from home and school over to work and out in the community where they can live semi-independently. So that's why we started college, to bridge that gap. So we are presently teaching them daily living skills, functional academic skills, social and emotional skills. Again, all that with a spiritual emphasis. We have a major in horticulture. We're teaching them floral design. They can work in a flower shop. They make the centerpieces for our banquets. They are beautiful. And we're teaching them landscaping, nursery, garden operations, and so forth. In addition to that, we are teaching another major, culinary arts. And I want to tell you, these kids really learn how to cook and bake. If they're baking a cake, it's not Duncan Hines Pillsbury or Betty Crocker or any of those. It's we'll get out the cake flour and teach you how to make a cake. Not only did the things they make taste good, because every time I show up, they make me something excellent to eat. I tell people, good thing I don't live there. I might weigh 50 pounds more. I mean, it is great. Not only does it taste great, it looks great. And I have a couple pictures in my phone. I need to get them up so I can show to people. But I was over there for their college graduation. And the second year students made the meal for the parents and the students and staff. And the second year horticulture kids did the centerpiece. But I took some pictures of the appetizer and the dessert, and they just looked wonderful, and they taste just delicious. And so those are a couple majors we have. And then this year we added computer technology, primarily focusing on and those that are autistic, to get that end of the spectrum in there too. And we've had students graduate from our horticulture culinary program and come back again just to go through this program. They are learning how to live semi-independently, and they are now equipped to find a paying job. And 80-some percent that start our program completed, and 80-some percent also get paying jobs when they've completed. So I think that's a pretty good percentage of students that come and graduate and get jobs. These are some of the buildings, the top and the one on the left, are two of our new buildings. There are dormitories, one for the ladies, one for the guys, and then apartments, that longer building on the bottom. This is a website you ought to look at. We're concerned not only to share the ministry with you and share our needs, but we want to help you, the local church, and you as individuals. And so we want to put free tools in your hand to help you in ministry. This website, shepherdsresources.org, is a website designed to teach you how to minister and how to deal with people with intellectual disabilities. There are 10-minute seminars by our own Dr. Russ Kincaid and other experts around the country. All you have to do is go and spend 10 minutes on each one, and new things should be added. So we want to help you. You ought to spend some time looking at that website, Shepherd's Resources. If you want to remember, on the table is a pamphlet about that. These are non-negotiables at Shepherd's. We believe the Bible is the Word of God for faith and practice. We're not about to do any negotiating. We have, are, and only will hire born-again believers. We will not hire anyone who's not a Christian, because we are strongly evangelistic. We want to reach those resident students, clients, and parents for Christ. and we're Christ-centered. Colossians says Christ has preeminence in all things, and we're local church-orientated. We began in the local church. Folks, this is a full-time ministry. I average 80-some churches a year all across the nation, and that brings me to an end of a couple prayer requests, and we're going to open God's Word. I'd appreciate if you would pray for me. I was just thinking as I was coming up here this morning from Fremont, the roads could be a little better a few places, particularly in 127. There was a few people down over there, and I said, I better slow down and be careful. But God has been good. 18 years, I've been in earthquakes, I've been in blizzards, I've been in ice storms. I've never been late for any meeting, and I'm accident-free in all these years. Somebody is praying. I've had plenty of close calls, but untouched. So I would appreciate you to pray. Pray about the finances at Shepherd's, and pray about Shepherd's College. If and when we hit 80 students, we're at 60-some. By the way, we had the largest incoming class this year. And a slide I don't have, failed to mention, is we also start an academy, and that's a two-year program for those who don't quite cut the college level. And so that as well. So we appreciate if you pray about those things very much. Stop by the display table. There's plenty of literature there. If you don't pick up anything else, pick this up. This is our Shepherd's Folder. It's our we put this out quarterly. It's our newsletter. And this is a particular edition because it has our annual report. You want to know how much money it takes to run Shepherd's. You want to know where it comes from. All these kind of statistics, all these things are in this. Pick it up, take it home, and read it. I have a limited amount, so first come, first serve. And when that limited amount is done, I'll go out the car and get another limited amount. How's that? All right, and if you want to receive this at home, sign a clipboard, we'll get it in the mailing list. All right, we need to move on to more important things. So take God's word, if you will, and turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And we're going to look at an overview of pretty much the whole psalm this morning, or this afternoon. But I want to read, just as a starting point, verse number 14. So when you get to Psalm 113, draw your attention to verse number 14, where it says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. As we come to January, every January, there's a particular Sunday in January that churches and individuals recognize as Sanctity to Life Sunday. And so I prepared this in light of that, and let me give you some background information. It's back in January 22nd in 1973 where the Roe versus Wade case legalized abortion in the United States. On January 13th, 1984, about 11 years later, President Ronald Reagan made a proclamation, and I quote, Now I, President Ronald Reagan of the United States of America, do hereby proclaim Sunday, January 22nd, 1984, as National Sanctity of Human Life Day. I call upon the citizens of this blessed land to gather in homes and places of worship to give thanks for the gift of life and to reaffirm our commitment to the dignity of every human being and the sanctity of every human life. In witness whereof, I hereunto set my hand this 13th day of January in the year of our Lord, 1984, and of the independence of the United States of America, 208th, Ronald Reagan. Killing of innocent lives is not something new. Remember way back, as you read history of Hitler and Nazi Germany, they killed those that were senile, the aged, defective children, ones with intellectual disabilities, and eventually they even included those that they thought were undesirables, epileptics, even children who might have had an ear that was molded not quite right, or those who wet their beds. The plan was to kill all Jews and the Poles. I asked you this afternoon, is that the direction that the United States has been headed? There was a Christian philosopher that lived a few years back by the name of Francis Schaeffer. He warned over three decades ago, over 30 years ago, that the legalization and acceptance of abortion would snowball to the acceptance of other forms of killing. Not too long ago in our own state of Michigan, remember Dr. Kevorkian, nicknamed Dr. Death. And not too long ago, we had a man by the name of Saddam Hussein who killed thousands of his own people. And now as we look around in our own country, we have those that are killing police officers. We have those that are going into schools and theaters and places of worship, killing innocent lives. And not too long ago, I got contacted by a church that the pastor was in his office one day, and these men in suits knocked on his office door, and he let them in, and they told him, "We are FBI agents, and your church is on the ISIS hit list. You better be prepared." That's not real far from here, folks. And so I'm here to tell you, there's killings going on all across the nation and around the world. And the theme throughout Scripture is God puts a value to human life. It starts way back in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Turn back there with me. Keep your finger in Psalm 139. But Genesis 1, 26 and 27, the Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. We need an emphasis on those verses today that God has a value on human life. And I'll go a step further. We need to emphasize that last part. He created us male and female. Well, as we look at God valuing human life, Psalm 8, so you probably had your finger in Psalm 139 as we're going back there. Stop at Psalm number 8. Psalm 8. In verses 4 and 5. Psalm 8, 4 and 5. "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honors." God has crowned us with glory and majesty, honor. And God, only God should determine life's beginning and life's end. Now back in Psalm 139, verse 16, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect and in thy book, and all my members were written, which countenance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." Yet as we look at our country, it is a known fact that abortion is happening to those with intellectual disabilities, specifically Down syndrome individuals. This is a sad statistic, but 92 to 97% are now being aborted in the United States of America. You are starting to see less, and you will see less and less Down syndrome individuals in our country because of that one thing. I mentioned that in a church some time back, and I had a lady come up to me afterward and say, "You see, by early on in pregnancy, by a simple blood test, they can determine that." And a lady said to me, "A doctor came to me and told me that I was going to have a baby that was Down syndrome and asked if I would like to have it aborted. And I told that doctor, if God wants me to have a baby with Down syndrome, then that's what I'm going to have." And guess what? The baby was born normal. And so those mistakes happen. And we have a great God. Well, I want to draw your attention specifically to Psalm 139. God values human life at its beginning. Let me give you a quick outline of the psalm. You might jot this down if you have a place to put it, maybe on the back of your bulletin or something. But I'm going to give you a quick outline of Psalm 139. Psalm 139 declares that God is omniscient. God is all-knowing. Verses 1 through 6 talk about God being all-knowing or omniscient. In verses 7 through 12, it tells us that God is omnipresent. He's all places. So God is all-knowing, verses 1 through 6, God is omnipresent, he's all places, verses 7 through 12. And lastly, God is omnipotent, he's all-powerful, verses 13 through 18. God is omniscient, 1 through 6, God is omnipresent, 7 through 12, and God is omnipotent, verses 13 through 18. So we've already looked at Genesis 1, 26 and 27, but turn back to Jeremiah, if you will. Chapter number 1, Jeremiah chapter 1, and verses number 5 and 6. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. God creates human life in the womb. It's not a glob of tissue. It is a real life. Now, let's look here at verses 13 through 16. I want you to note something about verses 13 through 16, the personal pronouns. The personal pronouns in verses 13 through 16. Verse number 13, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, as yet there was none of them. I think that's pretty explicit, that in our mother's womb, we are human beings, all through those various verses. There are numerous other verses that assume the personhood of unborn children. You can jot these down if you like. I'm not going to take time to turn to all these. But Genesis 25, verses 23 through 26, and then later in chapter 38, and verses 27 through 30, Job 31, verses 15 through 18, Isaiah 44, 2, and there are various other places as well. Now, not very long ago, you probably looked in the book of Luke because our blessed Savior's birth, Jesus Christ. I want to point out something. Turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter number 1. And we'll start reading at about verse 35. As you're turning there, remember Elizabeth is about to give child to John the Baptist, and Mary is expecting. And so, verse 35, with that in the background, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overwhelm thee. Wherefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to the word. And the angel departed from her. Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste and the city of Judah and entered in the house of Zechariah, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped. The babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Again, evidence that human life begins in a womb, and that God created us in His image and His likeness. God created each one of us, regardless of our physical or intellectual disability. In verse number 14, looking a little more carefully at it, it says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That word fearfully means to have respect or reverence for God. The Bible tells us, Psalm 111, verse 10, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We are important to God. God even knows the amount of hairs we have. And for some of us, He does a lot of subtracting, too. But He knows every last one that goes out. God knows the very hairs of our head are numbered. And we are wonderfully or distinctly or uniquely made. God made us special. And He has a special purpose for every one of us. Ephesians 2 and verse number 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has a plan for each one of us. If you don't know what His plan is, you need to look, find His will for your life. Verse number 15 in our text says that there is substance, meaning bones or our skeleton, and lowest part of the earth, reference to the womb, or woven together, our organs and all these parts are woven together. Verse 16, eyes saw my substance, an embryonic stage. As David writes this psalm, he knew nothing about modern science, folks. He was writing under inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit. But now as we know more about science, let me just state a quote that I picked up from a commentator by the name of John Phillips. This is mind-boggling. Every living creature is made up of microscopic cells. Each cell is estimated to have about 200 trillion molecules of atoms. Almost unbelievably complex. Each cell has its own function. Every minute, some 3 billion cells die in the body, and the exact same number are created to take their place. The human body has more than 1 million of them, 30 billion in the brain, and billions of red cells in the veins. It's not by chance. God created us. God also considers us, verses 17 and 18 of our text. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. In verse 18 of our text, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Each stage of life, God is with us. We have a resident shepherd. His name was Philip Troutman. Philip couldn't even sit up at over a year of age. And I know most children by 1 year old are probably walking, at least crawling, but he couldn't even sit up. The reason I know that, I have a grandson that was born premature. He weighed into this earth at a whopping 2 pounds and 10 ounces. That was a year ago in August, and he's walking. And so even being a preemie, he's already walking at just a little bit over a year age. But Philip, at a year old, couldn't even sit up yet. And there were people saying, this kid's never going to be anything. But somebody looked beyond that disability and took Philip swimming. At 3 years old, Philip began swimming. Today, Philip Troutman is an Olympic gold medalist because somebody looked beyond that. It's quite a humorous thing. Dr. Dwight Allen was at the Olympic meet for those with intellectual disability. And he came because he heard about Philip Troutman, how he was winning one meet after another, and there seemed to be no competition. So he interviews him, and the interview went something like this. Philip, old buddy, you going to win the gold medal today? And Philip said, yes, sir. Well, Philip, what's it going to take to win the gold medal? By the way, I probably forgot to tell you, Philip Troutman's nickname was the Fish. Troutman, Fish, makes sense, right? Olympic swimmer. So he said, what's it going to take to win the gold medal? And Philip said, a bunch of minnows. So the gun went off and Philip jumped in the pool, and from the get-go, it looks like it was going to be no contest. I mean, he was out from the gates right ahead of him and he just kept pulling away from him. But partway through the race, he didn't like the way his goggles were on, so he stopped swimming. He took off the goggles, and you can hear in this radio broadcast the coach in the background saying, swim, Philip, swim! Swim, brother, we're in the Olympics, swim! He looks up the referee and starts talking to the referee. Dwight Allen, his radio program, says, Philip, old buddy, not only did you stop and talk to the coach for a while, it looked like he's inviting the ref out to lunch. Everybody passed him up. But finally, he got the goggles on the way when he took off swimming. And as the race progressed, he caught up to that last place person and passed him. And as it comes to the end of the race, he's in a dead heat finish with the second place, first and second place person. He gives it one hard kick at the end and inches them all out by tenths of a second and bring home the gold. Now, that would be humiliating, wouldn't it? I'm going to stop, take off the goggles, put them back on, talk to the coach, talk to the referee, and I'll still beat you all. Well, that wasn't his attitude. But my point is this. God values every human life. And God values it not only at the beginning and every stage, but at the end. Let me give you just a few verses. Job 14:5, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Ecclesiastes 3:2, a time to be born and a time to die. Hebrews 9:27, appointed unto man once to die. The Bible denies man the prerogative to determine and terminate the end of life. Way back in the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, verse 13, thou shalt not kill. Just for your knowledge, the word kill does not refer to all kinds of killing. I know we have several hunters in here. It doesn't refer to that. The term specifically of killing, thou shalt not kill, refers to murder, specifically to human life. Not condoning cruelty to animals in any way, but I am saying that deals, thou shalt not kill, is specifically to taking human life. Genesis 9:6, whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Now the Creator created life for each one of us. He died for us that we might have eternal life. God loves you. He loves me. He can and has forgiven us of our sins if we accept him as our personal Savior. And he can give you peace. And I don't know, there could be somebody here that has had an abortion and has been a heavy guilt upon you, but God will forgive and give you peace that only he can give. Let's pray together. Father, indeed, we're thankful.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.